Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
It's a Friday edition here on Zero Block 30, and that means that we're going to start off the day with a little gynecologist chat. Kate, what were you saying?
Well, so before the show starts, we normally all talk for like 10 minutes. We catch up on what's going on with each other. I don't know. How did we get to gynecology?
Not sure. We were talking about something
else. We were talking
else.
About plumbers, and I said that that's not a job I would want to do.
That's an interesting way.
And then I said, well, I was a dog handler, so I saw shit every day. Gynecologists do, because when women give birth, a lot of times they will poop themselves. Kate, the floor is yours.
Number one, is that true? Do women, a lot of women poop themselves when they give birth?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
You didn't know that?
When they give birth, yeah, because they're pushing so hard.
I know.
You're pushing. You don't know whether you're pushing out of your vagina or your butthole.
I know that taints rip. Not to say that too early on in the show, but
and
I
you
didn't
cut
know.
It. You can have to cut it too. What is that
an
called?
An episiotomy.
Episiotomy.
Nightmare fuel. That's why whenever that time comes for me, I'm going to be taking Crisco for 9 months and just stretching that sucker out. Anyways, anyways, a gynecologist, they're looking at vaginas all day long.
Right.
And like most of
part
mine.
Part of the gig.
In my, as I. Came up in the world, most of mine were men. Like, that was mm-hmm. just the only option in my town and blah, blah, blah. I wonder, do you look at vaginas all day long? From every shape and size and fur status. And then get home to your spouse. And are you like, oh, God. Honestly, the last thing I need right now is another fucking vagina. Like, do you still get turned on by your spouse's
or
vagina.
Like, can you set aside your medical expertise and you're like in the moment, who knows, maybe you've just watched like Notting Hill or something like that and the mood's right, you've had a couple glasses of full-bodied red, you mm-hmm. look over and you think, what the fuck is wrong with your pussy?
Right, like, hey, hold on a second, we were just
hey, recruit.
We were finger blasting and something doesn't feel right. I don't know.
Hold on, let me get my glove on.
And if you're the lady, if you're the spouse of a gynecologist, like, are you like, is he really enjoying this or is he feeling around in there? Like, what's happening? You know, so that's something, if you're a gynecologist out there listening, please let us know.
Hit us up, 833-854.
A friend of mine, his father is a gynecologist, and I actually asked him this question before, and you really just, it's the same thing with anyone who separates their work life from their personal life. And when you're at work, you kind of look at it from a very medical standpoint. And then you get home and, you know, hopefully you have a good enough relationship with your spouse or significant other that it just doesn't pop into your mind. But I'm sure there are just certain things that you're going to think no matter what. You can't turn your brain off completely.
I mean, if you're a mechanic, you still like cars when you clock out. And if you're a dog handler, you still like dogs.
True. So you know what? You're right. You're right. If a dog handler could still like dogs, a gynecologist could still enjoy a puss. So,
yeah, exactly.
Well, I'm glad we cleared that up. That was heavy on my mind. Yep. And I like to say, same for lady penis doctors. You know, it goes
both
ways.
Although, I guess I have had one at the VA, the urologist, and she stuck her fingers in my butt, and it was weird.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe she stuck her fingers in her husband's butt when she got home, but in a more enjoyable way. You know?
That's what I'm saying.
If that's what Hank wants, that's what Hank wants. Yeah. All right, let's actually get into what the rounds today are going to be. Oh, Cons, you have an announcement.
I have a proclamation. Now, I'm a team player, so what I say that is to say that I listen to other content at Barstool just so I can, you know, say, hey, nice job. I know, that's fine. I everyone's different, but, you know. So I was catching up on your radio show yesterday, mm-hmm. the Chaps and Kate show, on mm-hmm. Sirius XM Channel 85. Subscribe.
4 to 5 p.m.
4 to 5 mm-hmm. p.m. Eastern. My proclamation is this. You two need supervision anytime you want to talk about sports, because you said some things that were just so wrong.
Me?
Yes. Yeah, you both did. Number one, Kate. And Kate, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. You were like, do you think, like, Deion Sanders, like, do you think, like, he benefited from playing other sports? It's a very well-known thing. Like, 88% of Division I athletes all played multiple sports. That nobody, like, any coach worth his salt will tell you, don't specialize.
Well, but that's actually going down now.
Wait, first
Most
of all.
Are going drastically it's not. Down.
First no, it's of not. All, hold it's on. Not. For any, it is. Let's, no, it's excuse not. Me, time out. Old context Katie had asked here. Deion Sanders has been signed on with Barstool Sports. He's leaving the yes. NFL Network, and he's coming to Barstool, because not all ZBT crosses over with Barstool stuff, just yes. so people know. So we are officially, you're listening to the newest coworkers of Deion Sanders. Yeah. No big deal. But what I was saying is that, you know, yes, he was an all-star athlete in like three or four different sports in high school, blah, blah. I'm just saying, because I have relatives whose kids are super into baseball, and they don't play anything else year round.
That's stupid.
All they do is baseball.
I have kids. Like you're saying, no, like the kids that are high level athletes here, they play traveling baseball all year long. They play football all year long. They play basketball all year long. A lot of these, like the Elite 11 kids, they aren't playing basketball anymore like they used to. They're just not.
So I mean,
the percentages and all the coaches that if you talk to, they would support what I'm saying. And most coaches say, like, you should play multiple sports. And if you talk to athletes.
I would say, like, not the top level ones, though. Like, guys that are getting drafted in the first round out of high school, out of baseball, they're not playing football anymore. Like, and it used to be the other way. Like, Deion, when he was Mr. High School Football, Basketball, Baseball, you won't find that now.
Yeah.
Because they're just not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely, yeah, I didn't know if that was, like, still a thing. But, yeah, I'm sure it's different all across the board. But
and then
either way, I'm super excited about Deion.
Yeah.
As well, you should. He's an all-time great athlete. And then, Chaps, I agree with your sentiment. I'm speculating here what you consider to be a great athlete, as someone that can excel at multiple sports, and you listed the greatest athletes as like Herschel Walker, Bo Jackson, Deion Sanders, and I agree with that because I also believe that the greatest athletes are the ones that could excel at multiple things at the highest levels. But to say Michael Phelps and just dismiss him and say he's just not even in the conversation,
oh, he's not for me.
The guy has 28 medals across four Olympics.
He swims in a sport where you can do that.
No, Chaps, do you realize how hard it is to be a swimmer at that level to make one Olympics and then to do what he's done? I'm not saying he's in the same conversation as Deion Sanders, Bo Jackson. No, I don't think. But to just completely dismiss him altogether, he's a top 30 athlete of all time.
You know,
oh, no way.
Swimming.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Swimming
absolutely.
Is just not
accomplished
sinking.
Athletes, yes. But athletes specifically, no.
What is your definition then?
Put Michael Phelps as fucking cornerback. What is he doing? Put him at tight end.
Listen.
What is he doing?
When Michael
put him
at Phelps,
play on a basketball
well,
baseball.
No, but why does
you
it,
throw
why
any
it,
of those other guys out there that my top 1,000 they could do that.
When I see Michael Phelps do a triple cow-tow on the ice, then I'll be impressed.
No,
when
if you throw Bo Jackson and Deion Sanders or John Elway in a pool. Or John Elway in a pool, they're not, you saw that, they're not going to just like all of a sudden be able to be dominant. I'm not saying Michael Phelps can go and be, you know, someone who can hang his own on a basketball court or a football field. But to say he's not a top athlete with what he's accomplished, I just think that's dismissing it too quickly. And also,
I think
that's your opinion, even though you can
Michael
have your
Phelps
opinion.
Michael Phelps is a loser.
Do you know how good of a golfer he is?
He's a big loser.
I want to see Michael Phelps run.
Yeah,
if
I want
Michael
to see
Phelps
him run.
Can run a sub-5.5 with those freaky little legs and his big old torso, then I would change my stance.
I want to see him do a round off.
Okay. I just found that ridiculous to dismiss the half cartwheel.
Mm-hmm.
To dismiss the greatest Olympian of all time as not a good athlete, not even in a discussion, I thought it was a little callous.
Would he be able to beat a dolphin swimming? And
thank you. Thank you, Kyle.
Would
yes.
a dolphin be able to beat Deion Sanders at football? No, absolutely not.
Mm. Exactly.
Exactly.
Full circle. Thank you, Kyle. Yes, I agree. So you're
well,
a big dummy.
That's my proclamation. I think you guys just need a little pushback and some supervision when you're talking sports.
No, that's fine. And I know a lot. I've said for years I didn't think Michael Phelps was a good athlete. I mean, not that he's not a good athlete. I don't consider, like, if you line athletes up, Michael Phelps is not one that you're like, oh yeah, that guy's got an athletic prowess. Deion, Bo, Herschel, yes.
But see, that's the thing. I agree with you.
What I didn't
agree with was how you just completely dismissed him as if you should never even mention him.
I wish I would have dismissed him more. How about that?
I guess we're just leaving Cheryl Swoops out of this conversation.
We're not going to dismiss the actual topics of the show today, of which we actually have 7 rounds in the magazine. Ooh, round number one. Boy. With 30,000 Marines currently in quarantine in preparation for a large-scale training exercise in the Pacific, we were reminded of the classic lie from lots of recruiters. See the world, they said. The ZBT gang shares where the military has taken us across the country and around the world. Round number two, there's a notorious relationship between the military and off-base car dealerships. And keeping with that theme, we've got an Army soldier who's been locked in a battle with Honda, our good friends at Honda, over a $1 discrepancy for over a year now. Round number three, a military helicopter was on a routine training mission when it was shot at from the ground over Manassas, Virginia, injuring one of those on board. Scary stuff. I actually, when I was in Iraq, when we were leaving, actually, I got my Staff Sergeant Ybarra, told the pilot of the plane, like, oh, yeah, this is Corporal Cawthorn. He was injured and, like, kind of told him my story. And he said, have you ever sat in a cockpit while flying? And I said, no, I never have. And he was like, well, come on up. Let's sit here. And we were leaving. It was either a C-130 or it was a C-17. It was one of those two. And I got into the cockpit, and I was like, this is fucking unbelievable that they're letting me do this. My sergeants and shit were pissed as fuck in the back of the plane. I'm still sitting there, like, hanging out. I look down. Guess what's covering the entire cockpit floor?
Monsters. Rippets. Rippet cans.
Close. Not close at all. Flak jackets. They had to put flak jackets all along the bottom.
Oh.
You would think military flights going into combat zones would have a little bit of bulletproof protection. Not the case. One of the pilots said, yeah, one time we were flying over and a round came through the plane and we had to go seal it, like, while we were flying. Like, there was a little hole that was in here and we had to do it. And I thought, and it wasn't new flak jackets. It wasn't flak jackets like we were wearing.
Right.
It was like the fucking martial arts training flak jackets.
Right.
The Vietnam one that are basically just stab proof.
Like, holy shit.
That's kind of surprising.
Yeah, that's shocking.
This past weekend I was at home. I forget what channel the television was on, but my dad was watching this thing about the C-5 or this, I don't know, one of those seaplanes.
C-whatever. See if anybody gives a fuck about that.
And they were going into all what goes into the amount of money to build them and the engineering behind all of it. So to hear that they're not even bulletproof, kind of feels like they missed the mark on that.
Don't let word get out.
Engineers are fucking idiots.
Let's,
like,
you got
to have a user in there. How do you not have a user in there? Mm-hmm. Like, pilot, what do you not want to happen? I don't want to be shot from the ground. That would be beneficial to me. Like,
interesting.
You think that would be beneficial? That's going to be round number three. Round number four, shifting gears a little bit, a soldier tried to steal a car in Germany but was thwarted not by the cops, but by one of those pesky stick shifts.
Now, please note, did you notice shifting gears now? Do you see what I did?
I did. That was unbelievable.
Thank you.
Well done. Mm-hmm. Well done. Mm-hmm. Pop the clutch. Round number five. This is going to be a quick one. It's a little fire watch that we got to give out because we found one of the most obnoxious men in the military on a Reddit post and look forward to shaming him and giving him the worst fire watch shift for the weekend. He deserved it. This guy looked like an absolute... Mm-hmm. Are we commenting on looks, Kate?
In this one, yes.
Okay, mm-hmm. Soup sandwich. Looked like an absolute soup sandwich in uniform. Round number six, grab the mops, baby girls. President Trump wants you to get wet.
Whoa.
I'm gonna tell you about how much
There's some holes in the house.
Dripping. You are going to be sounding like some macaroni in the pot.
Ooh.
Round number seven, a classic question of right and wrong. Some sneaky folks in Washington State are up to no good. Or are they? If you want to be up to no good in the bedroom, you might want to start off with our good friends at Roman Swipes because they have the swipes that you swipe it on your little cock and it'll get it hard for a long ass time. It's the secret to longer lasting sex, which when you're in the teen, you got nothing to do but beat that dick. Mm. Even if you're by yourself and you just want to really pleasure yourself a little bit, that's fine.
Treat,
go with our friends
treat
at
yourself.
Roman. Yeah, it comes discreetly marked so people in the barracks won't know. You might be moaning longer than usual. Put the little sock on the door, whatever you and your buddies have worked out as your little system. Respect the system. That's all I can say. Respect the system. Respect the swipes. Roman swipes are clinically proven way to last longer in bed. They're effective. They're easy to use. They're fast acting. And they don't require a prescription. They can sip it to you wherever you are in the world. And they can hide it in your wallet. So even if you're, let's say, oh, I don't know, and a port-a-john in Afghanistan, and you want to beat your meat for longer than normal, you can use a Roman swipe to do that. Go to GetRoman.com/zero. You can get your first month of swipes for just $5 when you choose a monthly plan. That's GetRoman.com/zero. Let's get started with the show, which is probably...
I just came up with a good tagline for them.
Okay.
You don't need a dating app to swipe right with Roman. You're swiping right. You're swiping your dick correctly if you're using Roman.
Let's get started with the show, which we're actually going to call Michael Phelps as a shitty athlete.
Let's get going
with the show.
Disgrace. Do not disgrace Phelps. Because also,
Michael
too,
Phelps is a piece of unathletic shit. How about that?
Yeah, he's a loser.
I will stand for this Phelps slander. What he did in the Olympics is unbelievable.
Hmm. Oh, anybody can do that. You put me in a pool for 6 weeks, I'm beating Phelps.
Okay.
The only thing getting a sweat in this episode is Trump.
Class one.
Yeah. I will never miss an opportunity to tell you all I was the top level swim qual. Okay. Just so you all know.
Kate, I'll give you a head start. You will not beat me in a swimming pool.
Oh, no. It's not about how fast you can swim. It's about can those little fellas drag you under and can you fight them off? And guess what? I'm a wiggler and I'm a scratcher.
You do seem like a wiggler.
I am. Absolutely.
Candy Jiu-Jitsu would be a sight to see.
She'd be like,
but
one of those...
did get your ass kicked in the barbecue wrestling competition.
This is true, but can I say I had like 5 vodkas right before that? Not that it's an excuse.
Like the other lady didn't?
No, she was
Stone Cold
sober.
She was stone sober.
But she was from like a holler in West Virginia, okay? There was no way I was going to win.
You're from
that.
A holler, all bets are off.
Yeah, forget it. She'd talk like this, and her name was like Brandine. I'm sorry, I'm not winning. I don't care how much McMap.
Also, best song that includes the word holler off the top of your head.
Ooh.
Oh, there's a Chuck. Oh, my God. Now I'm blanking on his name.
I ain't no holler back girl.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. What is it?
My love is deeper than the holler, stronger than the river, wider than the snow falling on those ripple hills. My love.
All right, hold on.
So there I was.
Field Holler by Chuck Reagan. And number two, I hate the both of you because now you got me watching that stupid Garth Brooks documentary, and he is a weird fella.
Yes.
We have to have this as a clip. Who am I? I'm Garth Brooks. And then I said, let's play in the Thunder Roves.
Yeah, if you haven't watched the Garth Brooks documentary yet, I know we're jumping all over right now, but highly recommend. He stares right into your soul and just takes a dumper on it.
Yeah, seriously.
It's very strange. Back to me.
You know who else does that? It's Car Salesman. Let's get going with round number one.
Oh, that's round number two. You switched it up.
Oh, as you were. We switched it up. I switched it up. That's on me. Round number one, we're going to be going all around the world. That is, so whenever you go, it was different for Cons, obviously, because Cons went to the Air Force Academy.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever he went to the Air Force Academy, he didn't have to go sit down with a recruiter or anything like that. It was just like a basketball coach, him and his basketball coach at the Air Force Academy went through what it was going to be like whenever he finally got to Colorado Springs. And then, but for Kate and I and Kyle, it was a little different. When we sat down at recruiters, I don't know if other branches of service do this too. They have their little tags where that has like discipline, travel,
adventure.
You have financial security, college paid for, all these different little tags that you can pick it out. I think there's like 15 or 20 of them or whatever, and you pick out your top three. Typically, one of those is see the world because if you're recruiting kids like me, I'm from Jacksonville. I guess I'm not a good example because my dad was in the Navy, so we traveled a little bit. But Kate, you were on the record of saying you never left basically Pennsylvania, like the greater area of Pennsylvania, your entire life.
Never. And this was like, I was 21 at this point. I had been to Indiana like once or twice, but that was about as far. And I went to Florida with my dad once on a work trip. But besides that, like the tri-state area.
I love how excited you were about Florida, too.
Yeah, I was so excited about it. I got sun poisoning the first day. I didn't understand what the sun was like down there. I like blew my mind. But Jersey Shore was it every year, which I'm not complaining, but that's just the way things were for us. And so.
Time to get triggered again.
I had never traveled really before.
Damn Pennsylvania folks invading our beaches.
But so travel was like, you know, I dropped out of college and I had only been in Western PA. And like, I felt like I was going nowhere. I had never been anywhere, and I had this hunger to like get out, but I didn't have the means to do it. And so when that was one of the tags that I picked was see the world, travel. And little,
did that end up working out for you?
You know, in a way, in a big way, yes. But so there's this map going around right now where you can click on the states and see, because it helps you to visualize and actually see the country and click where you've been. And so I'm like, oh, let me click all the places where, and I wrote rules for this on our Twitter. You had to have been there. It can't be like you drove through it. It can't be just a quick layover on a plane. You had to have either been stationed, TDY.
Yeah, because everybody's been to the fucking airport
right,
in Atlanta.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Or you had to have like trained there for at least a week or something like that. And so mine were, I was MEPS in Pennsylvania. Shout out to the duck walk. And so this kind of took me through a little journey, which I'm going to go through real quick. I told everyone to count their MEPS state, the state where they got sucked in. So mine was Pennsylvania. We had to go to Harrisburg, the state capital. That's where my MEPS was. My roommate,
sneaky underrated state capital that nobody ever thinks of.
Harrisburg, yeah, people forget. My roommate that day, we had to spend the night in a hotel because it's a long process going through it. My roommate found out she was pregnant that day and was promptly given the boot. She was out. The duck walk was a nightmare. Then South Carolina for boot camp, I had never been. Like that was the furthest. Because I had flown to Florida, so I was like, holy shit, look at these trees with all the danglers on them. Oh my god, it's so hot. These
the danglers?
Oh yeah, the danglers.
Pine cones.
Coconuts?
North Carolina, doing the hikes in the pine bear. Like, that was brand new to me, too. That was where I went to MCT. And then, what I never thought, because I knew all the Marine Corps bases, and I was like, these are all sweet, they're kind of near the coast for the most part, blah, blah, blah. Missouri.
Kate is the first person ever to say that all the Marine Corps bases are kind of sweet. They all suck.
I had never, to me, they looked sweet because I'm like, oh my God, they're everywhere. Well,
Jacksonville, North Carolina, Cherryport, North Carolina, Yuma.
Well, when I signed up to be an MP, I didn't realize that Missouri, an army base in the middle of bumfuck Missouri, is where I would go. And when I got there, there wasn't enough people to pick up a class for like 6 months. So for like half a year, we literally just sat in a classroom in the middle of this base in Missouri every day. And we were stuck in this area called Specker area where we were not allowed to leave it. It was like maybe like we were in a 7-acre prison almost.
For 6 months?
It was forever. It was a nightmare, dude. It sucked. God. And then there was like the kids who had been there for over a year with injuries and stuff like that, who had their own little clique who were like, come on, take these bits. Like, it was like such a weird world.
And what do they call that base?
Fort Lost in the Woods. Fort Leonard Wood was where it was. And then every now and then you would get a card to be able to go out in town, but you had to have your alphas on. So it was just a lot of wearing your alphas in the middle of August in Missouri, getting drunk by a pool at some like shitty Holiday Inn.
And you held your nose, right?
And like, I held my nose.
In the deep end.
But it was one of those
stupid
times.
Nose holder. Michael Phelps would never.
I just remember sitting there being like, this was not when I picked out that travel chip. This was not what the fuck I had in mind. What the fuck? But it was all worth it then. My next stop was California. And that, when the plane landed and you get out at the San Diego airport and that beautiful line of palm, I was like, holy shit.
You're like the meme version of that little kid in the blue shirt that's like, whoa.
I couldn't believe, I was like glued to the window the whole way to camp. And I swear to God, I was thinking, oh, if my loser friends from back home could see me now, wow. As I'm like living in some shithole barracks only because there's a palm tree outside of it. That is where I took advantage of my friends. We had like shitty cars that we would use, and we traveled everywhere in California and like Arizona and Vegas and all those places. That's when like the world opened up for me. But that's it. Besides electronic security school in Alabama, which got it got canceled, Redstone Arsenal, because like 500 tornadoes rolled through and blew our teacher's house over. So that was it. That was all I did in the United States. Like five states. That's it.
Pretty good.
Pretty cool story by me, but it's one of those things where you think you talk to military
people. And you went to Afghanistan. You would have never gone to Afghanistan for travel.
Afghanistan, and then layovers in Kyrgyzstan, Alaska, Romania, Germany, and Ireland, but that's it. Like, so really, not as much
travel. I bet they could make some fire ski resorts in Afghanistan, though.
Oh my God, definitely.
Probably.
They absolutely.
Better airport, Germany or Ireland?
Ooh.
Which one in Germany? Ramstein?
Yeah.
I would say Ireland.
Yeah, I would say Shannon.
I remember in Germany, the lady sneezed. I was buying a Toblerone bar, and I said,
"I bought one of those in Germany too."
Really? I said.
I bought one of those at Winn-Dixie.
I don't know what. I was coming home from Iraq, and I was stopping there. I was like, you know what? Let me get some authentic German chocolate. And for some reason, Toblerone was right there, and I know that's – is that even where it's made?
No. Toblerone and Mozart balls.
I think
balls.
It's Swiss. Yeah. I think it's like –
yeah, it is Swiss, I think. You're right. Yeah.
I actually had – I stopped in the Ireland airport. I was like, oh, I got to get a Guinness here. It's going to be so fresh.
And
a loser.
We weren't even allowed to drink on the way through. But I guess that's like a long, rambly story about where I've been. But I feel like people have this idea of you join the military and you're everywhere. We had almost 200 people respond with their state maps. And most of us who were in for just one or two enlistments, really only about 5 or 6 states was the average. Like, it wasn't as much travel as you think
recruiters
it is.
Recruiters are going to demand people turn this off.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
The only way you're really going to travel a significant amount is if you make a career out of the military.
Right.
And also, if you are vocal, because if you just sit quietly, they'll just send you wherever they need you. You got to be vocal and kind of network a little bit in the military to get more desirable locations.
A lot of it's job specific too, like dog handlers. You're going to travel because you're doing bomb sweeps and shit like that.
And you traveled
If you're gonna be a reconnaissance person, you're doing all kinds of training, so you're gonna go all over the place to do that training. What about you, Cons? Where were you able to go?
Obviously, for those who don't know, I started my military career at West Point in the state of New York.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll just list out the states: Oklahoma, Louisiana, Texas, Kentucky, Hawaii, Florida, Massachusetts, Connecticut, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Alabama, Arkansas, North Carolina, and Tennessee were all the states I went to while in the Army.
I didn't realize you had been to so many. What did you do in Pennsylvania?
Well, we played the Army-Navy game in Philadelphia.
Yeah, I was going through that in my head, like where a lot of those were football games.
Oh, these are football
in
games?
Fact, get most of them.
Fuck
most
out
of
here.
The only actual military training, I went to Fort Knox, Kentucky, sophomore year summer.
I was thinking, what the fuck could he possibly train for in Connecticut?
I went to Fort Polk, Louisiana, which is such a dump before Iraq.
That might be the worst base. That
What's
and
so
Drum
bad?
Might be the two worst bases in the United States arsenal.
What's so bad about Fort Polk?
The weather stinks. It's hot.
Yeah.
You're in the middle of this swampy marsh area. You're not near any major city. It's just very, very miserable. And most people go there. I mean, unfortunately, a lot of people are stationed there. But I went there for a JRTC, which was the training I did before I went to Iraq. So I was only there for a short stint. And then, obviously, I did training in Oklahoma while I was in school. And then, obviously, for artillery school. And that is it in terms of military training.
Yeah, I think one of my favorite Army base stories was Lethality Jane, whenever she said, "Oh yeah, come to Fort Drum. You're just a short 45-minute drive to Rochester."
Ah, the magical land of Rochester. Yes, yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Who wants to go there? Because I was a dog handler, I got to go a lot of places. I went to, obviously, started in South Carolina, North Carolina, Missouri. Then I came down here to Lackland. Then I went to Japan, Arizona, California. I got to go to some training in Korea, Thailand, Guam, Australia, Sri Lanka. I did that for tsunami relief, and it was
You did tsunami relief in Sri Lanka?
Yeah. So I had only been in Okinawa for like 2 weeks or so and had just got put on a dog, and his name was Orlando, Dutch Shepherd, and they were like, "You guys have to go to Sri Lanka." And I wasn't trained with, like, he was a drug dog and I hadn't certified with him or anything, and I was like, I'm not supposed to go. Like, we aren't even like a certified dog team, because you have to get approved by the provost marshal of the base or the base commanding general on if you can actually do searches and things like that, like for court purposes. And so I mean my staff sergeant was like, "No, you're going, but you're going to look for bodies." And I was like, "These aren't cadaver dogs, like,
right?
They don't do that.
If they had drugs like, well, on
gonna,
them, your dog,
they're like,
fun.
We're gonna give it a fucking try."
Yeah.
So we just had to walk like all in the different areas and things like that. It was terrible.
Holy
What'd you
shit.
Do in Australia?
I did not know
training
that.
Exercise with the Australian Marines.
I actually didn't know you went there either.
I didn't know that either. See, this is why I wanted to do this. I was like, because I feel like we talk all the time. We've done like almost 300 episodes or something. I'm like, there's so much I don't know about the stuff you guys did. Wait, Sri Lanka. So you were like, you just were walking the towns with your dog looking for.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys remember, but in 2004, there was a terrible tsunami that came through Sri Lanka, and it killed, hundreds of thousands of people. And it was legit awful. And it was really quick reaction. I didn't know what I was doing at all there. So I got to do that. And then being a part of being an explosive dog handler whenever I was stationed at Quantico, I got to go to some cool places with like Secretary Clinton or President-elect Obama. Whenever he was President-elect, I also did things with George W. Bush. I got to go to places like Germany and Spain and England and Egypt. And then I did a lot of stuff in New York, like during the election buildup. Mm-hmm. I was at the debates. I actually sat next to Mitt Romney in the debate where it was Barack Obama versus John McCain in a debate. I got to sit and be like the personal security for Mitt Romney. I was next to him. So that was cool. And obviously Iraq and Hawaii, did some training there too.
I had no idea.
Got to go to some pretty cool little spots.
And Kyle, where were you at? What was your deal?
Yeah, Chaps has been to a lot cooler places, so this will be terrible.
Yeah, Chaps put us all to shame. Where were you at, loser?
So I enlisted out of Colorado and then went to California and then to North Carolina and then back to California and then back to North Carolina and then to South Carolina for like a week. I did an inspection down there and then back to North Carolina, and I'm still here.
So see the world, they said, and you just did a lot of back and forth. You went overseas, too.
Yeah, I mean, I went to Afghanistan, and we stopped in Leipzig, Germany. Mm-hmm. And then on the way back,
Did you get a Toblerone bar?
No. Mm. I took, like, a dozen melatonin and was way out of it.
Yeah, smart way to go.
But then on the way back, we stopped in Japan and then Washington State because we had some army unit with us, and they got dropped off there. Before we flew back down to California.
There you go. Chaps put us all to shame. I had no idea Australia or Sri Lanka, Chaps. I didn't know that. Very cool.
Yeah, Australia. I mean, that sounds like, and we were talking about it before the show, that sounds super sexy. Reality, I don't know anything about those spots. Like Sri Lanka, it's not like I went and like was hanging out in Sri Lanka. I was walking a dog looking for dead bodies.
Right.
Like, yeah. That sucked. Australia, whenever you get there, I didn't get to go out of town. All of these places that I listed, all the different countries, the only spot that I got to actually go out and explore a little bit was Germany. The rest of them, like, you land with Secret Service or whoever, you do your bomb sweep, you go back to the hotel. Like, you're not allowed to go do things because they don't want you to get in trouble whenever you're doing that kind of stuff. So even though it sounds like a lot of places, I've seen a lot of cool places from the sky.
Yeah,
like,
from passing over
able
it.
To just look out. But other than that, I don't know shit about Ireland or Germany or Spain or Egypt. Like Egypt, it was really like we searched the hotel that we landed at. We landed at the airport, took a helicopter to the hotel, and then as soon as we swept the hotel, the two floors that we were occupying, we were done and back. We went to Egypt. I was in Egypt for maybe 12 hours.
Yeah,
maybe.
And it's quick.
Most people don't usually go to Egypt for just 12 hours.
Yeah, that's a rare thing.
And I thought it was going to be a super sexy mission. I actually went on that one from Okinawa, and I thought, dude, going from Okinawa to fucking Egypt, this is unbelievable. Like the opportunity that I'm getting. I get there because they don't tell you how long you're gonna do stuff. A lot of the Secret Service missions, like, they don't tell you how long you're gonna be gone. So I get there and they're like, all right, time to go back. I'm like, what the fuck? Mm-hmm. Have you been here a day? This is a long trip.
My only advice to people would be that if you are stationed somewhere in the States, like, and it seems lame, like, oh, somewhere in North Carolina or somewhere like Fort Polk or whatever, still get on Google and find the weird, wacky, cool shit within a couple hours.
Or DM Kate, she'll help you.
I will help you. I swear to God, I will come up with an itinerary
what
for
else
you.
What are you doing?
Even if I've never been there before, let me make you an itinerary. Go do it and tell me if it was any good or not. Because
actually, let's make that a segment coming up on Tuesday show. So what we want you to do, if you're at a shitty base that everybody hates, like Fort Sill, Oklahoma, Fort Drum, you're at 29 Palm, something like that. Let us know what base you are. Kate will go through and find you the top five things to do in your best.
I will make you the perfect Saturday. That's what I'll tell
you. Actually, go to the comments on iTunes, leave what base you're stationed at, and with a 5-star review, and then we will tell you where you should go, and we'll find things for you to do.
I will create an itinerary. But truly, though, you get stuck in this bubble where you're with your friends. You don't really either. You leave the base, or you only go to the one specific spot off base and blah, blah.
Yeah. Like, or you go to the mall. You can't go to the mall anymore.
But, like, California, really, I was lucky to be with a group that wasn't content just sticking in the normal bubble. And, like, you know what? Here's the exact limit. Here's exactly how far we can go. Over the weekend, let's go right to the border and see what's out there. Like, it was really fun.
Did you guys ever ask, like, your staff NCOs or whoever, like, so is this 72 limit? Is this as a crow flies or, like, actual
yeah. miles? Yeah. So, like, we're looking at this spot just beyond. Does it count? Because blah, blah, blah. Yeah, definitely. But my advice, like, really get out there and explore, because I guarantee you, it really, because I had never traveled and it really did change my life. It opened my eyes to a lot, even though I didn't go too far.
Or play multiple sports and become a really good athlete, get to go play football in college, and then you'll get to go play all over the place and go stay in Hawaii. You can do that, too.
Anyways,
Or swim.
Or swim.
Chaps added
That's
another.
That's a great way to see the world. You could go to Athens. You could go to London.
You could swim.
I will say that whenever I was in Japan, I wish I could go back and do that now with my wife and family now. I was an idiot. 22 years old, spending 4 years in Japan. And the things that I took advantage of were minimal. Like, I wish I would have taken much more advantage of where I was at. I mean, you could do space A flights to go to mainland Japan and visit Tokyo and go see Mount Fuji and do all that stuff. I didn't do any of those things.
Yeah,
that's the other thing. Get creative with your funds. I know if you're a lower enlisted, lower ranking officer, it can get a little difficult. You know, get your buddies together, stack hotel rooms. You can figure it out. You can pinch pennies and
even
find
you
a way
pause.
To
even you poor enlisted can have a good time.
You can live and find an Airbnb with some bunk beds and perhaps a race car bed too.
You can bring your swivel gear and sleep in the dirt.
No, we didn't have to do that. We went to Guam.
Final caveat on this never-ending round.
As you said, Hawaii. You guys are going to hate me for this one. So when we went and played the University of Hawaii, you guys have seen the movie Forgetting Sarah Marshall, right?
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
Turtle Bay Resort is where we stayed when we played the University of Hawaii.
Hell yeah.
That movie caused Kristen Bell to be number one on my hall pass list.
Whoa. Ooh. Hoppatoots.
Hoppatoots for sure.
Last note, you're talking about with people not being able to travel so much right now that sex dolls are like a huge, they're skyrocketing. If you can invest in anything right now, make it sex dolls. Well, so I was looking in. Did you ever,
not an ad, by the way.
Not an ad. Did you ever hear of the Borghild Project?
No.
The Borghild Project describes a German project purported to exist during World War II aimed at combating the spread of syphilis among Nazi troops by supplying the Nazi soldiers with sex dolls. According to the narrative, Adolf Hitler approved the project to distribute inflatable sex dolls to his soldiers, which could be transported in their backpacks in order to give them an option to avoid places of prostitution like Paris. After years of being considered a real project, the lack of evidence supporting its existence led to it being deemed a hoax in the early 2000s. But not a horrible idea. I think...
That's a terrible idea. If you're in the middle of a war, a widespread war, and you're like, do I want to go fuck a prostitute or this inflatable raft? I think you're going with Parisian prostitute 10 times out of 10.
Well, look up the Borghild Project. There's like a whole, I think there's a movie about it. There's like, it's this whole like big story.
And a sex doll from 1940s? It's got to be like just a sandbag. Like the technology wasn't exactly great. Not like it is right now, because in many ways, the advent of a global pandemic has been a stroke of luck for the sex doll industry, with most of the world's strict government instruction to self-isolate in the privacy of one's own home. Consumer interest in hyper-realistic silicone-based sexual partners is at an all-time high. And it's not just those lonely singles who look horny as fuck who contributing to the boom in this business. A number of Australian sex doll manufacturers and distributors confirmed to Vice News that sales have been surging ever since lockdown measures were enforced. And they are increasing. Some of these places, these sex dolls, if you're talking about ones that look realistic, like in that movie Her, They're not cheap. Like, those are several thousand dollars. And some of these places, like one of the places is called Cherry Banana. They told that they told Vice News that they've been selling 20 to 25 a month. That's good business.
If you are looking for, if you're getting out of the military and looking for a job, sex doll salesman, hot ticket.
And it's not just for the singles that are out there. They're saying that couples are getting it. You got to be a weird fucking couple to be like, what do we want to do?
If your husband's a gynecologist, if your husband's a gynecologist and he comes home and he's too exhausted to look at your patoots, get a male sex doll. Say, don't worry.
You were going to say, get one of the lady dolls. Put her high up, make her arch your back, just give her...
What the fuck are we doing?
Throw on some Dave Matthews, a little Crash Into Me, hike mm-hmm. up your fake skirt a little more,
right.
type of thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're the king of the castle.
It's king of the castle, king of the castle. They're struggling to keep they're struggling to keep demands, and we believe those who are living the single life, live by themselves, want a human-like construct to just be near in times. Despite skepticism, we found from talking directly to our own customers that our dolls do actually provide emotional comfort as well as a little sexual expression. Pretty exciting stuff going on in the sex industry.
Indeed.
Indeed, indeed. All right, let's move on to round number two, which has to deal with something a little more close to the military. What's going on with that, Kate?
Yes, car dealership goofing. So, as we know, you go off base, there's a million places to spell cars, like K-A-R-Z, and right away in your heart, you know, maybe I shouldn't, but your little Lance Corporal heart says, I don't know. I like that Mustang out front.
Should I go to this car dealership that clearly used to be a gas station?
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. Uh-huh. That man's clearly wearing a toupee that's flapping in the wind, but I trust him for some reason.
And I can also get a tattoo while I wait. Yeah. Can't beat that.
Perfect. This car comes with a free sex doll. Army Major Edward Kim has braved mortars, rockets, and ambushes from insurgents on some of the bloodiest battlefields of Iraq and Afghanistan. But now, safely back on U.S. soil, Kim is fighting a different kind of war in Los Angeles County's courtrooms. His enemy? Norm Reeves Honda Superstore in Cerritos, a massive auto dealership that, according to the federal government, has a history of deceptive advertising practices.
Let me just say, Superstore? That's not a place I want to get a car.
Especially Norm's. Norm's, no, yeah. Norm's Honda Superstore.
What about a mini bike?
That's maybe. Okay. That's okay.
I consider a mini bike.
Yeah.
Well, at the heart of this lawsuit between Norm Reeves, Honda Superstore, and Soldier Kim,
fucking Norm,
is a dispute over a $1 error in the purchase contract for a new car. This is what the soldier, this is what Kim says. The experiences I had in Iraq and Afghanistan and my service in the Army have made me more determined to defend myself against Norm Reeves Honda's deceptive practices. Their actions are no different than the insurgents who bullied yes, who bullied the Iraqi and Afghan people during my deployments. What I experienced with Norm Reeves Honda is not an isolated incident, and I am confident it's happened to many others.
Oh, how pissed do you think Norm Reeves is that he's like, Superstore, damn it, we are a superstore.
Yeah.
We're not just Norm Reeves Honda, we're Norm Reeves Honda Superstore.
But Kim is comparing them to insurgents in Iraq and Afghanistan. Bold. Aaron Jacoby, an attorney with the LA law firm Arendt Fox, who is representing Norm Reeves, blamed Kim and his brother, John Kim, who both signed the original car contract for the legal wrangling. So, of course, Honda is saying, no, no, it's their fault. The crux of the lawsuit is that the Kims have made no attempt to make their first payment or any additional payments for the Honda CR-V they purchased. The Kims have had possession and enjoyed use of the vehicle for over 2 years without a payment now. So, over this dispute.
What?
Yes, this soldier has been driving the CR-V around, has had it 2 years without making a single payment over this $1 dispute. Here's how that happened.
He's right. That's basically Taliban
shit. That's basically, yeah. So Kim's ordeal began in 2018 when he was on leave in Anaheim from his duty station in South Korea. Flush with cash, as most people coming back from wherever they were are, he decided to buy two new cars, a Civic and a CR-V. So one car for him, for his sister, and his 78-year-old mother. So those were the two cars. He had excellent credit. He started checking out prices, came across Norm Reeves Honda, and made the trip. It was like just a few miles away from Anaheim. So he planned to pay cash for the two cars, totaling about 50.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. You can't skip over the fact that Norm Reeves Honda declares themselves as the number one Honda store in the entire world.
True, that's right. Wow. I shouldn't have left that out.
That's
I'm
a
sorry.
Fucking claim.
It is a claim. The number one, and yes, big deal for a superstore.
And I believe him.
So Kim and his brother both, Kim's brother's also former Army, Kim's active, but they make the trip over there. They plan to pay cash, about $50,000, but decided to finance the vehicles because they were eligible for military discounts that trimmed about $2,000 off the price. So he was excited to surprise his mom and sister with their new car. So he's doing a really cool thing. He's like trying to do a good deed for his family. However, just 2 days after giving his mom the keys to her vehicle, he got a phone call that changed everything. The finance representatives for Norm Reeves' Superstore, I won't leave that off anymore, called to notify Kim that American Honda Finance denied financing for the CRV because the purchase amount was off by $1. So he asked Kim to return, re-sign everything, and fix things up. And Kim said, hell no, because he was well aware. Have you ever heard of bait and hook? It's like yo-yo financing scams. Well, they'll say that the car buyer is, the final price is off by a buck or two, or like something small like that. It's like, oh, no big deal, just a buck or two, come back. And when they come back, turns out that the car dealership has never signed off on their end of the contracts or anything like that. And here's the new contract, but guess what? It's for a lot more money now. But you already have the car, you've already given it to someone, you're already settled in, so you accept the higher amount. So he's like, no, fuck you guys, I'm not going to re-sign this stuff, I'm not going to do it. So he hasn't made a single payment on this car. The paperwork that the car dealership like has fucked up, so they're trying to sue him and all this stuff. But apparently, like, so they're just deadlocked in this lawsuit over $1 discrepancy, and he's like refusing to pay.
But Kim's attorney said that he's tried to make payments, but Norm keeps saying no for 2 years. I think I'm back on Kim's side.
I'm back
on Kim's
side.
If you're trying to make payments and the greatest Honda superstore in the entire world won't accept, what's wrong with my money, ISIS? Take my fucking money, Al-Qaeda.
Let me tell you why I'm on Kim's side here. Because car dealerships do this sort of thing all the time.
You're absolutely right, Colin.
They just did it to me a month ago. I got my vehicle that I currently have, and everything's all ready to go. They
extremely
said,
officer car and a Volvo, putting that out there.
I go back to the dealer. They
drive a yellow truck and Kant has a Volvo. Kate has a busted ass CRV.
It's so perfect.
When it all checks out, the stereotypes are true.
Yeah. And Kyle, you drive a pickup as well, don't you?
It's not yellow. It's red, and it's an F-150.
He has a respectable staff NCO. I have the staff NCO who still tries to hang out with the corporals.
Yes. And I'm
so I go back to the dealer. The paperwork, so it's like, you know, 20 pages of paperwork. And the woman, the finance woman who had nothing to do, she just printed it out and is going over it with me. She starts going through. And the monthly payment is off by a dollar. I said, oh, wait, no, this is wrong.
Classic yo-yo.
This is off by a dollar. She said, oh, well, that's not, it's just like a dollar. I was like, well, I'm sorry. Are you going to give me $36 right now? She said, excuse me? I said, well, over the course of this lease, this will cost me $36 extra, and that's not what I agreed to. So I made this lady tear up that paperwork, print it out again. So then we keep going through it. Then the amount of miles that I was supposed to, that I agreed to with the salesperson, that was off. That turned into a little bit of a yelling match with my father and the salesperson. Because
you brought your dad?
Oh, my dad loves this. Big Al loves it. Big Al loves going to car dealers and busting their balls.
If I get a new one, I'm bringing Big Al.
You should. Yeah, he would absolutely sign up for that. Yep. And he was very much irate. He's like, I wouldn't have agreed. I never would have told my son this number. But my long story to say, car dealers do this sort of thing all the time. And if you just don't say anything, you're just like, okay, I'll just sign.
Well, that's,
which most people do.
That's,
you're going to be screwed.
That's what I loved about this dealership. Had no idea that they were dealing with a combat-hardened Iraq and Afghanistan veteran who was like,
who does not give a fuck
and it's like
it.
And
it's
like,
and it's,
I will battle
it,
you
principle.
Exactly, that's it, chaps.
Right.
$36, can I afford $36? Sure can.
Sure.
But it's the principle of it.
Exactly.
Do not,
right,
do not
when
do
I
that.
Went when I bought my older daughter her first car, and I'm trying to pay, I told the guy, like, look, I understand this is a good deal and you guys are trying to get cars off the lot, I will pay this amount of money and not a dollar more, and as it, don't even bother calling me back or anything like that until you meet where I'm paying cash for the car. I'll pay this much and not a dollar more. He calls back. He's like, I need you to throw in another $75 to show that you're working with me. I'm like, motherfucker, I'm about to give you $9,000. That's me working with you. Other than that, don't call again until you have the number that I agreed to. Like, that's it.
And
these dealers, too, they're always like, oh, man, I'm going to go broke. I'm going to be in the poorhouse if I give you this deal.
Shut up. You just say no. You would say no.
Exactly. Get out of town.
We're losing money on this. Yeah.
No, you're not.
Shut up.
And no matter what, you're not losing money.
Shut up, Norm.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, that's a perfect
you know what?
Car
hey,
dealership. Norm. You fucking Norm.
Hey, Norm's Honda Superstore. Kick rocks.
Kick rocks.
Damn, let's move on to round number three, unless we have something else, Kate.
No, I just, again, you know, reading it the first time, you're rolling your eyes at Kim.
We fucking roasted Norm.
I know, you're rolling your eyes at Kim, like, as he's comparing them to, like, insurgents and whatever, and then you get to realize, like, who this soldier is, and you know this soldier in your mind, and you're like, fuck yeah, Kim, get him. Like, he's a battle-hardened, and he just zero fucks left to give. He's gonna get him.
That's a major who just got promoted to major, who previously was a company commander and had all kinds of shit that was going on. He got back from a deployment. Like, 40% of his soldiers got in trouble for underage drinking and shit like that
he's
when they returned.
He's
just like, you know what? I'm not dealing with this.
Yeah.
Now I'm the XO getting treated like a boot-ass piece of shit by my colonel.
Not today, Norm.
I don't have time to deal with the colonel and Norm. Norm, you can suck my big old dick.
Suck all of our dicks, Norm.
Yeah, and we're going to use Roman Swipes with the promo code ZBT before you do it. So you're going to be sucking for a long time, pal. Let's move on to round number three, which is a little bit different because this one comes to us from Manassas. I think Manassas, Virginia, it sounds great.
I have family there. Yeah, my Uncle Jack and his family.
I just like the word Manassas. I think it's a great time. It reminds me a little bit of syrup. I think that's because of molasses.
Yes.
But
I think it sounds I'm going to cut you off. Our family, Philadelphia area, huge family, whenever they had a communion or a graduation down there, we would all collectively rent a Greyhound bus and go together to Manassas, Virginia. Legit pulling up in this little suburban neighborhood.
How in the fuck do I not know that your family used to rent Greyhound buses?
You know those rest stops when you see like a whole family getting off
2 years
bus?
Into a relationship is way too long to keep that.
Didn't know that was a thing.
Aside
from your family doing it, I didn't even know anybody could
do that. A Greyhound bus would pull up in front of my grandmom's house, and we would all come out of the house in one big old line and get on. It would be full, like every seat full. And it would be bathrooms, there'd be TVs, we'd watch like Old Yeller and shit, all the old aunts and uncles like, and we'd roll up to this little suburban neighborhood in Manassas, Virginia, and come climbing out like a clown car.
God, I wish all of the Mannions would have been there getting into the bus, and then Kate was left at home, and she has her own little home alone, where she's eating nothing but SpaghettiOs and crushing, like, because you know Kate would have the... I'm the king of the cool jerk.
Another time we took a bus, the whole family crammed into a bus to go to visit family in Ohio. And my Aunt Kathy had broken her leg. She lived out there. And she was on crutches. Somehow, someone in my family wrangled up like 100 pairs of crutches. So we all came piling off the bus in a long line of crutches. Like...
Your family is so weird. I love it. This story's a little bit different
than that.
Still in Manassas, Virginia, but not with the Mannions, luckily.
Right.
Somebody tried to shoot at a helicopter. The UH-1N was... get out of here with these fucking letters.
Right, the whirly
bird. Can we just name it something?
Right.
Like, even when you're doing military stories, like this one comes from CNN, just call it whatever. What's a UH-1N? Anybody know?
No idea. That's the problem. None of us know.
Oh, yeah, just say a Huey.
Just say a Huey.
A Huey was flying 10 miles northwest of Manassas on a routine training mission at an altitude of 2 to 1,000 feet, flying pretty low. It landed safely at Manassas Regional Airport west of Washington, D.C., and the pilot was taken to a hospital where he was treated and released. The incident is now under FBI and Air Force investigation. You think? You can't just be willy-nilly shooting at fucking helicopters. The aircraft will be closely inspected for other damage, and the airport operations officer, Richard Allabraugh, reported its air traffic control tower was notified of an onboard emergency of a military helicopter that was inbound. I bet
you
when
never
you get
that
in Manassas, Virginia, that's a butthole puckering.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's not something you see every day.
In Manassas, you're usually just used to the molasses.
But so all they heard was that, you know, the traffic goes through, there's a medical emergency on the plane or on the helicopter. I wonder if they even knew that he was shot. Like, I would just never see that coming. You're flying above this, like, nice area in Virginia, and all of a sudden, you're bleeding. Like, I wonder if they realize, oh shit, we've been shot from 1,000 feet below. Like, I wonder if that
Getting that information as a helicopter pilot, like, you have all this information that you're trying to get out, and you're doing it with proper, like, radio protocol, like, saying things in a professional manner. When we were leaving, when I got shot and we were leaving the area, there is another Marine who burned the fucking dog shit out of his hand, changing a barrel on a M2, like, yeah, machine gun. So he didn't have time to get the glove or anything like that, but knew that it was time to change the barrel. And we were, like, in a very, very intense firefight. And he had to do it. You could see
when, oh my God.
Oh, fuck. Ugh, sorry. That's
and when
awful.
He reached and changed the barrel, like, took it, you could smell it instantly.
People
and, like,
sizzle bacon on those things in YouTube videos.
It was burned to the point where you could see, like, his bones and his hand and shit.
Jesus.
Wow, credit to that Marine, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't give a shit. That dude was fucking tough as nails. So we get into the helicopter. I had pulled down because the corpsman that was in the house with me, he was like, I bandaged you up as good as I could, but there's going to be a lot of rotor wash going around whenever you're because you're still in fucking Fallujah and there's all kinds of sand and shit. He said, pull your flight suit down over it so it doesn't really, like, force dirt into your open wound on your arm. I was like, yeah, that makes sense. So I pull my flight suit down, get in with Saika, and my arm's just kind of, like, dangling down by the side. And we get in there, and all of the combat medics are – there's two of them on the bird, and they're looking at the reconnaissance Marine who had burned his hand. Obviously, very serious burn, too. And they're like, we see the burn. Where's the gunshot wound? Like, we need to assess the gunshot wound. And the other Marine goes, that was fucking Matt, dude. Matt got shot. He's just chilling in the back seat. And I'm sitting by Saika, like, petting Saika. And they're like, you got shot, too? And I was like, well, he didn't get shot. He just burned his hand. I got shot. And they're like, well, lay down. I was like, I don't think I need to lay down. Then they made me, like, he was like, get down, corporal, like, started screaming at me. And the helicopter's like, lay on the fucking stretcher now. Mm-hmm. And it was I think it was like a captain or something like that, a medic, like, captain. And I was like, roger that, sir.
Yes,
like,
sir.
Laying down. I was like, nah, I can't even see anything. Yeah. I was having such a good
time.
Can
I sit in the cockpit?
Like, looking over. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that, you know, this sounds like everybody's going to be okay in this situation. And the FBI is looking into who did the shooting from the ground. But like you said, like, you were talking about that story in the beginning, which was interesting to me, with the flak jackets on the ground so that the pilots don't get shot. Like, I think in a very sick way sometimes, we used to play these video games for training when I was in the military where you were the Taliban. And it was like this layout of the towns, and you got to pick where you would put the bombs, and you got to pick where you'd hide, like, you know, the IEDs and where you would shoot from and blah, 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 because it makes you think like them. So when you're out in patrol, like, you can kind of imagine, well, if I was them, that's where I would be. Keep an eye out. Mm-hmm. Like, and I look at, you know, those huge fuel tanks by the airport. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what's to stop somebody from, like, what happens if you shoot those? It's not
nothing.
That. It's not that.
Nothing.
Really?
They leak. Yeah, that's
no.
it.
Oh.
You'd have to shoot
this it. This isn't the movies.
You'd
Kate.
Have to shoot it and then get, like, a bow and arrow, like Robin Hood style, and, like, make it shooting, and then it has to set on fire. You could shoot gasoline and it's not going to explode.
Oh, well, that really ruined. I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe there's not better fences. We could just be popping things, popping holes.
I think that's very movie talk, like, because that's what they do. They're like, oh, there's a gas tank. Let's shoot that and it'll blow everybody up. That's not realistic.
But, like, here, I live right next to LaGuardia Airport, and, like, the planes, they're low. Like, what's stopping crazy people?
That's realistic. You could definitely do that.
But, like,
yeah, you could definitely have a sniper rifle out of your window to shoot down planes
and,
if,
like,
you wanted to.
How the hell would the FBI ever figure out where that came from and who, like, I'm just interested
to
know.
Oh, they have their ways.
Yeah, that kind of stuff is, do they still have in New York? Wasn't it New York that installed those sound monitors where if there's a gunshot that goes off, they can do, like, precision of where it came from?
There's cities around the country where they do that now. Yeah, you can see them on the telephone poles and stuff in certain areas where they can find the trajectory. But I'm almost surprised. I guess reading it, the sick part of me was like, I'm surprised this doesn't happen more. With, like, somebody in the boonies looking up, and it could have been a teenager joke with friends. Bet you I can hit that helicopter. Oops.
Well, do you remember your insert into a different deployed area? Whenever you're coming in on a C-7 or a C-15 or whatever, they start really high, and it's a really rough landing because they don't want to be that low over the civilian population.
Yeah, it's the only time I've ever been plane sick in my life was, I don't know if it was C-130
that's
or what.
That's scary.
But
when they turn on the red lights,
yeah,
when the red lights come on and you've never done it before, you're like, we're going to open the door and be in the middle of the shit. I remember thinking that outside. I'm like, wait. They open the door. I'm like, there's a fucking Burger King light.
Yeah, never mind.
I was coming into LSA Anaconda, which was known as Mortaritaville. So I'm expecting to get off the plane and there just be
fantastic name.
Great name.
Yeah, it was. I was expecting there to just be explosions everywhere. No.
Nothing.
Just shuffled into a room to watch a PowerPoint about, hey, what
nobody
to do if they
wearing
start mortars.
50 cal necklaces around like Rambo. It's bullshit.
God, Hollywood is
that's
full
what
shit.
That was one of the tags that I pulled from the recruiter. 50 cal necklace. That's what I wanted to have. Really shitty tattoos and a 50 cal necklace. Got one of the two.
Last thing on this story, sorry, real quickly, because we've mentioned not knowing what the UH-1N was, and we've all said some different form of a C-type cargo plane.
Mm-hmm.
I get a little annoyed at people when they say, oh, you're in the military, you don't know what that helicopter is, or you don't know what that plane was. No!
We'll start quizzing them on Arty rounds, Con.
Yeah, exactly.
Throw it right back in their face. Oh, you don't know what a 155 round is?
You would be amazed.
You don't know about shake and bake? What up?
You'd be amazed at how I went through the military for 5 years going skeepity beep with my fingers in my ears not learning.
Oh, I'm not amazed. We host a podcast with you.
Yeah, we hear stuff all the time.
I don't know.
We know. Stolen Valor Katie, big time.
I don't know anything. Forget it. What is the difference to me? I'm just sitting on it. I'm just riding in it.
I love that, too. Like, our colleagues at Barstool Sports, they'll be, like, talking about a topic or, like, oh, man, let's go get Kate. She'll know. And Kate's just like, huh?
Nope.
No
it's clue. A tank.
Yeah, it's a tank.
Well, that happened to me whenever they were asking me on the spot. They're like, what does SEAL stand for? I was like, I don't fucking know. I didn't even know it was an acronym.
Yeah, me neither.
Not in the goddamn Navy. How am I supposed to know that?
Yeah.
If you want to be a helicopter pilot and you might get a little stressed out, and if you're feeling stressed, go with our friends at 3Chi. It's 3CHI.com. Make sure you go there and check out all the different stuff they have. I actually know what tinctures are now. I didn't know it before.
Mm-hmm.
Is that how you say it? Tinctures?
Yeah.
What the fuck is that word?
Yeah, little tinctures. Tinctures.
Tinctures.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Tinctures.
Little tinctures.
So you put that underneath your tongue. You let it hang out. They have a couple different ones. That's like there's one that's called Comfortably Numb, and they have a relaxing one.
You
they
love
have
them.
Different types. I love them. Yeah, they're fucking fantastic. And you can go 3chi.com. I think with the promo code zero, you're going to get 5% off right now. It's a great deal. It comes not marked. It doesn't say like, hey, there's weed inside of here or anything like that. It's hemp derived. It comes from Delta 8 type of weed strand. Delta 9 is the one that's illegal in a lot of different places. Delta 8 is not. Obviously, check your state. But Texas, for example, recreational and medical marijuana, illegal in Texas. Delta 8, not. And it gives you a lot of the same things with focus. You can go to their little drop-down menus on the vape, and you can pick which kind you want, and it'll tell you what you want. Like, there's one called Pineapple Express. That one is for if you want to feel focused and light and just light and breezy and airy. Like, if you just want to be having a good time, laugh it up, I recommend that one. They also have a bunch of different ones. They should sell flights, honest to God. Like, I was going to save this idea for them, and I was going to say, I want in on the profits of this. I'm going to give it to them right now. I think that they should do something called flights, where it's FL high, HIGHT, where you have flights. So you go in, and they now it comes in 0.5 milliliter or 1 milliliter. Send it out in 0.25, and you have five of them that come together, and you can buy a four pack of five, have some of your pals do a little Zoom party and do flights and try them and see which ones you like the best. That's what I would do. They're not doing that now, but you can buy five of them and have a little flight time with your pals while you're on the teen. Go to 3chi.com with the promo code zero to save 5%. It's a fantastic company. I talk to the people on Twitter all the time, DM. If you have questions about like the legality and things like that, you could also DM them at the 3chi.com Twitter account, Instagram account, and see what some of the other Barstool employees are saying. You could see the reaction and how much we actually love the product by as much as we talk about it when they're not paying for it.
So yeah, that is
a big indicator.
It's been helping people sleep. Is what the biggest one that I've heard, especially you. You said the same thing. You were texting me about it. So,
yeah, I've slept better than I've slept in the last 10 years, the last couple of weeks since they started sending me the product. It is unbelievably good, and it's just nice. Like, you don't have to sit around and actually smoke. It's vape. You could do it in the privacy of your own home. They have these little gummies that now they figured out a way not to let them melt even in the hot Texas sun, and they will get here. They have those gummies will have 25 milligrams of THC in it, the Delta 8 again, and you'll sleep like a baby. Just eat a little bit before. Take it about an hour before you want to go to bed. Enjoy yourself. Watch The Office. Giggle your little dick off and then fall asleep and wake up without a hangover. It's absolutely fantastic. Let's move on to round number four, which I think there's not very many things in life that I will judge a grown man for. I don't believe in a lot of traditionally masculine things. If you want to wear pink, wear pink. I think oftentimes the most manly thing you could do is not be concerned about what being manly is. Mm-hmm. That's how I feel about masculinity. But if you can't drive a stick shift, I will look down my nose at you. Mm-hmm. For sure.
Cons and Kyle, can you both drive stick?
100%. I learned at age 13.
Come on. Can Kyle? Kyle knew how when he was like four.
Kyle
that
could
was
build.
My first car.
Kyle could build a stick shift when he was three. So
he built a car when he was in high school.
Yeah, okay.
Kate, remember, most luxury vehicles and classic cars are all manual transmissions, so of course I know how.
I had a 92 Ford Bronco with a 5-speed.
Ooh, a Bronco.
Yeah.
Like that.
Oh, there's great. Actually... I want to take it to Dave. There is a 1988 Jeep Wagoneer that has, it's white and it has the wood panel on the side. It's mm-hmm. tan. It runs only $1,400. And I could take this and really make it better, like do some DIY goods.
Fix it up for him.
And do it and then sell it. And I would sell it around Veterans Day time. And all that money, we could take it from somewhere and donate it to an organization.
There you go. I think it's a great idea. I think it's a very cool idea.
My wife would be pissed if I came home with another car. Three cars under quarantine. She would be so mad. But this one is a little bit different. This one happened in Germany, which German engineers, they still like to use mm-hmm. a little bit of a stick shift. Kate, what happened over in Germany?
Well, a U.S. Army soldier allegedly tried to steal a taxi at Munich International Airport. Mother of God. Immediately, again, I'm thinking of their command getting notification.
At the airport?
At the airport. A U.S. Army soldier tried to steal a taxi at Munich International Airport, but could not carry out his plan because he didn't know how to drive stick shift. According to Stars and Stripes, a 19-year-old soldier with 2nd Cav Regiment, based in Bavaria, was at the airport to fly back to the U.S. last Wednesday. What an idiot! When he saw a Mercedes taxi with no one sitting inside and the key in the ignition. What an idiot! He's about to fly home, and he sees a taxi, a Mercedes with no key. The driver was outside the vehicle, leaning on the hood, enjoying the fine summer weather. The soldier allegedly jumped inside and started the car, but was not prepared for the Mercedes transmission. While the car was juddering violently, juddering, I've never heard that before, J-U-D-D-E-R-I-N-G, while the car was juddering violently as the soldier tried to get it in gear, the driver got in the passenger seat to try and stop him.
Everyone who's driven stick shift, though, knows exactly what juddering is.
Okay, oh, yeah. Okay. The soldier eventually put the vehicle into gear and started driving, but then quickly crashed into a post on the side of the road. I have a picture on the sheet there. You can see it crashed in the middle of, like, a median. The soldier then...
And it's the most bitch way to crash a vehicle, too. Yeah. Just absolutely terrible.
The soldier then learned the error of his ways, and just kidding, he punched the cabbie in the face then before trying again to drive off, abandoning the vehicle when he realized it wasn't going anywhere.
I actually think that charge should be dismissed, because if you are juddering about in a stick shift and it goes out and it, like, stalls, and then you punch somebody, that punch immediately becomes a crime of passion. Just
right.
like if you walk in on
your
spouse cheating on you.
There's no greater embarrassment than stalling out
than juddering
in front of other people.
If you're juddering
when you first start driving a stick shift,
it's just juddering all the time.
And how scary is it when you know you have to come to a complete stop on a hill?
And then you know you're screwed.
And
like,
somebody gets real close
bad.
Behind yeah. you. Like you have one of those dickheads that is only like a foot behind you. And you know you're going to creep back just a little bit. And you're watching and be like, why are you on my ass, dude? Why? Yeah. You know I'm in an Xterra. I'm in a Nissan Xterra right now.
You know what kind of syrup this soldier likes?
Molasses?
Mrs. Juddersworth. Anyways, the soldier then, after punching the cabbie, tried to drive off again, failed, and then ran straight into the arms of police. My goodness. The accident did around $11,800 worth of damage to the car. The soldier is being investigated for theft and assault.
Here's my favorite line in this entire article. Here we go. Obviously, this guy's going to face court-martial, but the last quote in it, the soldier is no longer returning to the U.S. until the investigation and any follow-on administration and legal actions are complete.
Major John Amberlang, the 2nd Cavalry Regiment spokesman, I'm sure had a lovely time sorting out how to deal with this. But yeah, not returning to the U.S. Imagine the soldier's family waiting for them back home. Like, whatever.
They probably had a party ready to go.
The moon bounce was blown up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The pasta salad was out.
This soldier suffers from what I like to call 5-foot judgment. And that's where you can only see 5 feet in front of you and you don't get beyond that. So he saw the keys in the ignition. He said, okay, I'm going to steal this car. Or I'm going to get in it. Then what? Okay. All right. Maybe you go drive around. But then what? They never ask themselves.
What
then
you going to do?
Like, what do you think?
They never get beyond that 5 feet. And that's why they always find themselves in this sort of trouble.
Right. Where did they think they were going? Like, I need to hear more. I need to. If you
know where they're going. They're going to Firewatch, just like the fella in round number 5. He's on Firewatch, too. I've mentioned it before on the show. One of the weirdest things for Marines is looking at other branches of service when you're allowed to go out to eat. You're allowed to do things out in town in uniform. We're always like, what? You nasty little thing out there. When I came down to Lackland as an instructor and all the other instructors, it was a joint service school. So they would go out and enjoy a nice little Whataburger, or they would go to Taco Cabana or something like that. I wasn't ever allowed to go. I just had to go eat hamsters, also known as chicken cordon bleus, from the chow hall. And we would have a good time doing that with all the other Marines. We would just eat together. But sometimes they get to go out. Well, this guy has a post. He is an Army. I don't see his rank. I would assume, though, I think this guy, I'm going to guess 14-year sergeant.
Yes.
I'm going to guess.
I would agree.
That's probably spot on. He's an E5 for sure.
And the way...
Maybe E6.
Physically...
I was going to say maybe E6, but no more.
The way I described him that I think really accurately gets it across is that, do you remember Newman from Seinfeld, the mailman Newman, the role that he played in Jurassic Park, that smarmy little asshole... Shave that version of Newman's head and put him in an Army uniform, and that snarky little face with the glasses, that is who this man is.
And I don't want to be super ugly to this guy, because he might be a lovely fellow who's just having a bad day. But this guy looks like somebody who plays in the Army on TV that we would have on the show and be like, there's no fucking way this guy's in the Army.
Exactly. Yeah. There's no way. A little weight issue going on here. And this was his Facebook post. Mall shot, and it's a photo of his face, and he's looking at the camera like a smarmy little look, and clearly a couple chins going on in this photo. He's in his car in uniform. Goes, mall shopping with blank. I'm going to say Kelly. Mall shopping with Kelly. Didn't have time to change after work.
I was Kelly.
Yeah. Asian little teen girl approaches me.
Yikes.
Yeah, I don't know why her race matters. Asian little teen girl approaches me, asks me, facing the front of my uniform, and asks, are you in the Air Force? My first thought, bitch, do I look like a fucking barista?
Now, answer, yes.
Yes, you certainly do.
In fact, that's exactly what you look like.
I wouldn't want to give discredit to baristas in that way. He says, now...
Not cool enough to be a barista.
He says, now take time to go punch your second grade teacher in the mouth for that reading skill she gave you. And then it's a photo of himself and that smart... You can tell he thinks that this post makes him a fucking badass.
Oh, yeah.
When in reality, he is an embarrassment to the Army completely in a million different ways. And you can tell he's just got such a massive inferiority complex and that this is a sad little man. But it's one of those things that, like, what are you... Do you think... And immediately he got shit on across the board for it. Nobody thought he was cool or funny for it. Like, what are people thinking? It's like, that was the internet version of stealing a car at the Munich airport right before you went home. Like, it's not going to work out very well for you. Somebody replied, Fartsack69 said.
Yeah, I was going to be irate if you just said somebody and didn't say it was Fartsack69.
Fartsack.
That's the name you got to read.
Fartsack69 said, are you in the Air Force? Because you look like a fucking C-130 is probably what she meant. And then Dopey Wants a Peanut said, 19-inch neck. You're good to go, Sergeant. So, yeah, this is a quick round, but don't be an embarrassment online, guys. Unless you're a veteran, then you're free to do so.
Yeah, you got to be out. You got to have the DD-214 in hand. I do have, in full disclosure, there is definitely... In my time hop on Facebook, me taking pictures of people looking fat in uniform and posting them.
Chaps.
No doubt about it.
I did the same thing.
Yeah, you got to. Yep. I mean, that's the way we go. You're not a real Staffing CEO if you don't fat shame. That's the way that's how I feel about it.
Agree.
Any thoughts on that?
Agree to disagree.
All right, next topic that we have going on is, by the way, that guy is going to be on fire watch with the fella from last round. They can figure out their differences together. Maybe this young or this NCO that's a 14-year E5 can train the young lad. Mm-hmm. I'm quite sure I've read that somewhere. Mm-hmm. So round number six. President Trump back at it again, and this time I couldn't agree with him more. So President Trump has talked about this issue several times now, where he will be doing a speech somewhere and he'll mention water pressure and how shower heads, the water will just trickle out. Let's listen to the president talk about that for a minute.
We're bringing back consumer choice and home appliances so that you can buy washers and dryers, shower heads and faucets. So shower heads, you take a shower, the water doesn't come out. You want to wash your hands, the water doesn't come out. So what do? You just stand there longer or you take a shower longer? Because my hair, I don't know about you, but it has to be perfect. Perfect.
I couldn't agree more with POTUS here. If you've ever been to a hotel, if you've been in a barracks room, wherever you've gone, if you're in a deployment zone and the shower bag's not working good, there is nothing worse than getting off the old lawnmower, coming in and having it feel like somebody's pissing down your neck and telling it's raining. I want the pressure. Give me water pressure.
The only thing worse than that is having a shower head that's too short and like hits you mid back or something. Like, you know what I mean? When it's I've been in a few showers, mostly in hostels that I stay in, where the shower head is like neck level. And I'm like, why? I have to squat down for this shit?
Well, you were on the set of Elf whenever that happened.
That's true. So. That's true. Go ahead, Cuss.
Can I tell you a fun fact about me? Do you know how I judge hotels?
No.
By the shower. I get in there and say, good shower, good hotel.
I agree.
That's about the start and end of it.
I agree.
Yeah, I think the bathroom at a hotel makes a huge difference. Well, mm-hmm. he goes on to talk about the different shower heads, and I just think that's hilarious.
You have
a couple times, you're the president of the United States, the leader of the free world, and you're talking about shower heads. Like, that's one of the main things that's going to be. He even said that these shower heads essentially have a form of a governor on it, where they can make a couple shower head changes, and next thing you know, boom, water pressure's back.
Mm-hmm. It's on everyone's minds.
Nothing worse. I will say, when I was in an outpost in Iraq, and our shower was, you just raised the bag with a 5 gallon worth of water in it, and it just kind of like trickled out.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god, that thing stunk. But then the first shower I took back at the bigger base, it was like the episode of Seinfeld where Kramer like gets knocked down from the shower mm-hmm. because it's so powerful. And that was my first shower. And I just felt so clean and I was going to get ready to go home. And it was just the greatest feeling in the world. So I'm with President Trump here. We can't be dilly-dallying and fiddling around with water pressure.
But we also can't shoot it up too high. There's been many a times where I've sat after a nice little cup of coffee. Sometimes it's Death Wish. Sometimes it's Starbucks, depending on who the sponsor is that week.
Mm.
And I will sit down, utilize my bidet. And there's been times where pressure has fluctuated where I felt like the bidet water was going to come out my nose. Like where it just goes straight through my butthole, up through my entire body and out my nose.
Well, you fellas might not know, but for ladies, shower head water pressure is a very important thing.
Let's move on to round number six. Or that was round number six.
Yeah.
What do we have for round number seven?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah. I put it on there. So round number seven, I want to see if you guys, because we've had some integrity things that's going on in the show. If you are, if you're a sergeant with 14 years, you shouldn't be calling people like little bitch online.
Right.
That's not something that you should be doing. You shouldn't be stealing. You shouldn't be shooting at helicopters from the ground. You should, like Kim did, enforce old, what was his name? Ned?
Norm.
At the car dealership, they signed contracts that actually mean something. This guy in Washington State's doing something that I don't think is technically wrong, but I want to get your thoughts on it, because in Washington State, there's a little place that they have free bookstores. Like you've seen these little, almost, they look almost like little mailboxes where you can go I've seen in those. We have neighborhood those around where I live. Library. Yeah. You can go in, you could take one book, you put one in, and it's like a book sharing program. Well, this guy in Washington decided that because he was opening a bookstore, he would go around to these different free libraries, take titles that people might know, and put them in a sack, and then take really terrible books and put them in the free library thing. And they caught him trying to sell the books that he was taking from the free library. Not technically wrong, but are we going to call this good initiative bad judgment, or what do we say this is?
Bad.
Yeah, I don't like this. No. You know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of my younger sister back in the day. She'd get the bag of Oreos, and she'd go in there, and she would lick all the Oreos and then put them back together and put them in the bag.
I love that move.
Mm-hmm. And then unsuspecting people would bite into a soggy Oreo. That's basically what my man here is doing. He's giving people the soggy Mo. Oreos. Classic Mo. Unbelievable.
Yeah. I love that
I think that this is – this reminds me of when I was in. I had a – it was either corporal or sergeant when I worked on Lackland. And Lackland has this thing called the Airman's Attic. And the Airman's Attic is for E5s and below primarily who are going to have kids or they're going to be new parents. And – on certain days of the week, you can go in, and the base commander said you could take 60 items. If you wanted to take 60 items, you could. These are like onesies, blankets. You could take like a crib. They're all kinds of different things because people just donate. Like this is a huge base where you have a lot of families.
Yeah.
People can end up staying on Lackland for like 10 years. It's insane what the Air Force lets folks do. And so they would just have all these different things. Well, one of my Marines came back one day and had like three big bags full of shit. And I said, where did you get all that stuff? And he was like, I got it from the Airman's Attic. It's Wednesday, so they let us get 60 items. And I thought, just because you can doesn't mean you should. 60 items is a lot to
That's
take.
That's a lot. I mean, I would. I'd try and sneak out of there with 62, to be honest with you.
Oh, yeah. Then Annalise got pregnant with McCartney.
I get it now. Hell yeah.
Give me your blouse, Sergeant.
Yes, please.
Put your rank on and go in there.
But like to take those items, to take those 60 items and then start reselling them, you're a piece of shit. Like, yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. That's
well,
not
I
great.
Like the guy. I do kind of like the guy because they people went to his Facebook account and they were trying to call him out on it. And he said, I saw in your little post earlier about the stuff that you're saying that I can't take it because it's from the free little libraries. You came in here. I remember exactly who you are because you had your glass of wine nosily interrogating me. Roasted.
Roasted and toasted. But yeah, no, that guy's a fucking dickhead too. You know who it is? It's probably that same soldier who did that post in the last round.
You know who it probably is? Probably fucking Norm from the Superstore.
Probably Norm from the Superstore. Yes.
Damn Superstore.
Honda Superstore.
Branching out. Now he's going to have Honda Library. It's going to be the best in the world.
But boy, will we feel silly if we were about to get sponsored by Norm's Honda Superstore, you know?
And
we,
you know what?
We'd have to take that
we're
back.
Not mm-hmm. taking it.
Mm-mm. We're not going to take that sponsorship.
We're
we
not going to take it. What we are going to take is a little bit of save rounds and alibis. Kyle, this week we'll start with you.
So I want to talk about the Space Force's tweet. Did you guys see this?
Please read it.
I'll read it. Yeah, it says, can you imagine your loved ones coming down from the attic with your medals, achievements, and honors, asking about the time you shaped the strategic environment? How would you even begin to explain that? Tac-tac, by being part of the shaping. And then it has their stupid upside-down Pontiac logo as a picture.
Upside-down Pontiac logo.
Grandpa, tell me about how you shaped the strategic environment, Grandpa.
See, now, I saw all the backlash from this tweet. I don't get it. I think that they're doing exactly what they should be doing here. You can't come out there. If you're the Space Force and you're running their account, you're the social media manager there, you can't say you want to come be a boot-ass bitch with us and get made fun of all the time. No, you got to start elevating yourself. If you don't respect yourself, who's going to respect you?
I don't respect
that. You got to start selling this thing. You got to start selling the Space Force as it's going to be greater than every other thing we've ever done as a United States military since our inception.
Did you
That's
see?
That's how you got to sell it.
They've decided what they're calling them, Space Warfighters.
I was about to bring that up. Yeah. So space combine that with the strategic environment. I mean, get some more buzzwords, Space Force.
The whole thing seems like the Trump's official website is selling like goofy, like cartoony looking spaceport bumper stickers. Like, I feel like the whole thing is like a wacky joke.
I kind of feel bad for Steve Carell and
Space Force.
Like, you can't make a parody more so than what
they're
already,
doing. Yeah. Exactly. Strategic environment.
That's why they had to cancel Veep, because you just can't do it now.
Yeah.
Cons, what about you?
So there was a story this week about President Trump. He got interviewed, and at some point he got in. It was a Boston-based outlet, so they asked him about Bill Belichick, of course.
Was it Dave?
No, it was not Dave. It was a conservative radio show host, Hugh Hewitt. Rough name there. Sorry, just going to say it. Hugh Hewitt, not great.
I used to, fun fact before you continue, my name is Matthew. I used to say for the first 20 years of my life, people called me Matt, and I always thought that the next 20 people should call me Hugh. Give some respect to the H-E-W.
Mm. Oh, all right. I'll do it. There we go. But they asked him if Belichick would make a solid military leader, and he said, if I ever had a military battle, I'd call Belichick up and say, what do you think? What do you think? Give me a couple of ideas. He'd be as good as any general out there. Now, while
the last line. The first part I don't hate.
No, the first part is good. You lose me when you say he'd be as good as any general out there. Because you wouldn't. Because, you know, as much as he could talk about leadership and getting people behind a common mission and getting them to go in the right direction, there's a difference. You know, I know there's always parallels between football and the military, and people always want to draw those comparisons. But it's actually different when you're really making those decisions in real-life battles that you don't want to necessarily ask a football coach without any military experience what he thinks. So let's pump the brakes. But
two thoughts.
That made me think.
Go on.
All right, go with your thoughts, and then I'll ask my question. Go with
one,
your
better than Michael Phelps. I would never ask that guy to be any kind of military coach. And two, how badass would a soldier's uniform look, though, if it was a sleeveless cami with a hood on it, like Bill Belichick-style hoodie. So think about that, Cons. So go
and
ahead.
You know Bill Belichick definitely is wearing the fucking boonie cover.
Absolutely. Absolutely boonie cover.
Absolutely. Yep. Mm-hmm. So my question to you three, if you had to pick someone outside of the military for President Trump to consult for military matters, who would you pick? And I do think there is one answer that is correct answer, but go ahead.
Oh, I would say, first of all, I would love it if I could put Bill Belichick into a job. I would have him be the spokesman for the Department of Defense, where he just comes out there in his same very monotone voice. And he's like, look, we've talked about Afghanistan as much as we're going to talk about it. We're on to Syria.
I would love Bill Belichick as the press secretary. Can you imagine?
We've already said everything we're going to say about that. Do we have anything relevant for the next week?
Yeah.
Okay. We're on to Syria. All right.
We're on a series.
I would bring Joan Rivers back from the dead. I feel like she would roast the other nations to the point where they would feel so silly that they would give up.
Okay. My answer is Aaron Sorkin.
Okay. That's a good answer. And you're getting close to what I think is the right answer. Kyle, what do you got?
This is tough because I didn't prepare an answer. That's number one. I'd probably go with a sports person. Yeah. Like one of the greatest coaches ever, and this hurts to say because I hate what he became. Joe Torre.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
I guess what you're going to say?
Man, Cons? I bet you guess it. I bet you guess it. Go ahead.
All right. So my first guess is going to be a celebrity, not a football coach, and I would say Tom Hanks because of his roles in –
That's the correct answer. Whoa. And here's why. Not only does Tom Hanks have the military
co-host so goddamn well.
Mm-hmm. Not only does he have the military experience from the films and television series he's been a part of.
He's also had COVID.
But he's had COVID. And who's going to get mad at Tom Hanks? You tell me Tom Hanks told us to go to Iraq for weapons of mass destruction. Well, I'm not getting mad at Tom Hanks.
Wrong. I don't care if he's wrong.
Yeah.
The
He's
only person
wrong,
I can
Tom
ever
Hanks.
Remember being mad at Tom Hanks is that one fella who beat Jenny and said, those pinko commie bastards.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe
that
Wilson's
son of a bitch Johnson.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I think Tom Hanks is the answer. Tom Hanks, President Trump would like to speak with you.
Okay.
All right. I don't have much this week. I'm excited about my weekend. I failed to mention in this unbelievably long episode.
Without
an interview. I got a little electric scooter too. So now I have the mini bike electric scooter. I was talking to the wifey last night while we were chilling in the stock tank tub, drinking a canned brute champagne while we were in there.
That's just so perfectly on brand drinking champagne out of a can while in a stock tank pool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so we were talking about this fall. I want to look on like the Airbnbs and like places like that for a farm in the middle of nowhere in Texas that just has a shit ton of land. I'll throw my mini bike and the electric scooter that has big tires too, and we'll throw that into the back of the truck, bring Gus, and have a great time.
I think that's a very smart thing for you to do. Get out. Go somewhere.
I feel like Kate and Cons, we might need to take a life insurance policy out on Chaps.
I agree.
He's doing all his tools. Now he's got a mini bike. And
yeah, I feel like Chaps is the gift come to life of Steve Buscemi. How do you do, fellow youths, with all his new toys?
Hello, cool teens.
Well, you think that's something? Wait till I bust out the fucking jackhammer this weekend.
Yeah, we definitely need to get... If you sell insurance, get in touch with us.
Please.
Yep.
What about me?
Oh, sorry. Oh,
get the hell out of here. You think this episode's done? And especially on all to cut me off on all days, Opha Mae Johnson's birthday, the day after. Oh. 1918. You don't remember screaming that in boot camp?
Of course I do.
Anyways.
I'm surprised you do.
Happy birthday to the first woman in the Marine Corps. Kyle did a lovely post about her on the Zero Blog 30, at Zero Blog 30 Instagram account. And number two, in closing, I don't know if you listened to the last episode, but I have finally pooped.
Sound of retreat.
Oh, no.
God damn it.
More importantly, where are you going and what are you doing today, Catherine?
Going to the dentist, finally.
Yeah! Sound the retreat.
Did you brush your teeth?
No, I'm actually eating now and later as we speak.
Yeah, that's a wild move on a dentist day. Mm-hmm. All right, see you guys. Whatever.
Wait.
No, absolutely not. I'm about to cut this motherfucker off.
That was fun.
Holy shit. That was 140.
Me and Lorraine Bob.